Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and the director of the EOU Lab for Exercise Assessment and Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan Marshall. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
For Fit to Teach, each week we provide a summary of a research paper that provides insight into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, that healthy habits will accumulate and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. Nathan, we have another resistance training paper.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So what's the paper called?
The paper is called Meeting International Self-Report Muscle Strengthening Guidelines is Associated with Better Cardiovascular Baroflex Sensitivity in Adults.
Do author's last name.
O'Brien, and that is from a group of Dalhousie University in Canada.
Yep. So the summary with this paper, the big picture with this paper, and it's along the lines of some of the things that we've been talking about, because we're really trying to emphasize how critical it is to get a lot of different types of exercise. And the, you know, we were talking about this actually in our other class, the class Nathan has with me this term earlier today, which is, you know, a lot of exercise science papers are coming out now to try and figure out, okay, what are some of the benefits that aren't the most obvious benefits associated with exercise. So for example, a lot of people would say, well, I don't need to weight train because I'm not like playing competitive sports and you need to be like super strong and fast and you need to be able to move a bunch of weight. And it's a really short-sighted way to think about weight training. And then you say, okay, well, then I'm going to weight train for just muscular function so that I can do my activities of daily living, have good posture, maintain my strength, because we know that having a certain amount of muscle mass and a certain amount of functionality is really, really important, especially as we age. We also know, for example, that like weight training helps a lot with bone density. So that's, now we're starting to scratch the surface of things you may not think immediately when you think about weight training. And one of the big picture things that we've been talking about is how we need lots of different types of exercise in lots of different types of way. And so you don't want to necessarily, first of all, it's great if what you can do right now is get out and walk a couple times per week and you're meeting your moderate to vigorous physical activity recommendation. There's a lot of benefits to that. We've talked about those. In addition to the cardiovascular recommendations, there is a recommendation, like a general national recommendation, to get 2 days of weight training per week. And again, we've talked about, well, can you do light weights and get benefit from it? Yes. Can you get benefit from using bands and canned food and those types of things? Yes. And so this one, it really jumped out at me. And this is a very recent paper. It just came out. And this one kind of jumped out at me because once again, we find a pretty unique benefit to a type of exercise, and we wouldn't necessarily, it's not the first place you would think you'd be getting benefit from weightlifting. So if you go to the doctor and you find out you have high blood pressure and you have some decreased vascular functionality, so basically our blood vessels need to be in good shape, just like other things in our body. They need to be able to dilate or get bigger, and they need to be able to constrict and get smaller quickly and efficiently. And vascular function is an arterial function is really important. And so this paper kind of jumped out at me because it's basically the overall point is that if you meet your recommendations for resistance training during the week, it's actually really good for your vascular system. And I find that super interesting.
Yeah, totally. I was talking to Kyle about this, and one of my jobs as an intern now is to run this Instagram account for the wildlife firefighters. So I post their workouts that has already, like, a plan has already been made and everything. But one thing I'm kind of doing is like dabbling in those workouts. So I did like a high intensity workout and I was like, wow, like my heart rate is like up, and all I was doing was resistance training. I wasn't like running or
That's the key point.
Yeah,
is that it's like you're in a 6x6 square. You're not covering a lot of ground,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing a lot of these like really interesting functional movements. Our definition of functional movements in the context of this conversation, how I think about it, is like, are these movements, so like putting a bunch of weight on your back and then squatting it may not seem all that useful for somebody, but being able to like reach down, twist, create a stable base and lift something up and twist it and set it over on something else, that's the type of movement that we do without even thinking about all the time. You reach down to get something out of the freezer, you reach down and you pick up something, and we want to be able to do those things with good technique and good functionality. And so that's what we mean by functional movements. And some of the workouts that we've written for the firefighters, yeah, they have, like, you can tell that they have like a cardiovascular effect because you're breathing really hard, your heart rate's up, those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I haven't had much experience like in that kind of high intensity realm. We've talked about this a little bit, like in the different types of weight training, and just, you know, I've always kind of lifted like as a bodybuilder would, like do three sets, rest a minute or two in between.
Yep.
And that doesn't really make me, like, I would say tired, but like these kind of high intensity, like, okay, you're going to do this exercise for 30 seconds, then rest 10 seconds, then do the next one. Then I'm like, oh, whoa, like this is tough. Like I need that two or 3 minutes between sets, and like, I got to get water. I got to kind of walk around. I'm sweating. I'm like, whoa, like I feel like I just ran. Even though I didn't move really.
Yeah. So, and it's not the paper is actually saying, okay, well, we know we can get some sort of cardiovascular benefit, and you can sense that with like a high intensity resistance training sort of session. But what's interesting about this is saying, if you just meet the recommendations, the recommendations are very broad. Like, it's some sort of resistance training. It doesn't have to be high intensity interval training. Now, that type of high intensity training is going to increase heart rate, increase breathing. You say, oh, wow, I think I'm getting like more than just a weight workout here. And you're sort of conscious of it. But what this paper is interesting is saying that the traditional way that you kind of were lifting weights, where you're doing a set of 8 to 10 reps and then resting for a minute or two and doing three of those sets and then moving to the next, that will also improve cardiovascular function and arterial function. And that's a really cool benefit that is kind of unexpected that you get from weight training. It's just another reason, and it's another example of, you know, when you go out and you move your body, you're getting a lot more benefit than you probably are comprehending or thinking that you are. And we've been discovering a lot of these over the last couple of years, and we've been talking about a lot of them because they apply to people with really busy lives that don't have as much time as maybe they'd like to dedicate to these things. And you realize that, wow, a little bit in a lot of different ways goes a long way.
I think one thing that I was kind of thinking of when we were reading this article was things like in Kyle's classes, I've done some studies with MOXIE monitors, which are these monitors that measure blood flow to muscles and how that plays into what muscles are being utilized in different exercises. So, you know, we always kind of talk about like get your heart rate up when you're exercising and that stuff. But like, what does that do? Well, in the lab, we have these monitors that can actually measure what muscles are being utilized and how much. So for me, that kind of reinforces the idea of like, okay, when I'm doing this exercise, whether that be running, biking, doing a squat, I'm like, I'm using these muscles this amount, which I think is super, super cool. And I nerd out about that.
And so the reason why I like that technology as well is basically you put these patches on muscles that you're targeting and then you exercise, and you can see how much it's used as a way to measure the changes in blood flow to those muscles and how much those muscles are being utilized. It is a really cool way to visualize and say, oh, wow, this is a vascular exercise along with being a strength exercise. But we only really think of it in terms of getting stronger muscles. Mm-hmm. And I think that just shortchanges that activity and reinforces this idea of we have to get lots of different types of activity in a lot of different ways if we want to hit all these systems, because the total of it is more than just like the assumed, the sum is more than the individual parts.
Yeah. And two, like, this is kind of a, I guess, posing it kind of as a question, but for things like high blood pressure and risk of heart disease, we're talking about the vascular system. Is it this weight training, this kind of 3x8, 4x8, that's beneficial for that too, if someone's struggling with high blood pressure?
So it depends in regards to, this was not looking necessarily at overall high blood pressure. What this was looking at was more, they were looking at more like functional outcomes of vascular health.
Okay.
And for somebody that does have high blood pressure, I can't stress this enough. It's really, really important to work with your physician and make sure that you're staying within the guidelines, because there's actually a thing called the Valsalva maneuver that's employed by heavy weight lifters, where you hold your breath and create pressure while you're lifting heavy weight. The internal pressure in the cavity and the pressures are like, they go through the roof. And so it's actually really important for people with high blood pressure to understand their limitations and what may or may not be putting them at risk. And it's really important to work with your physician in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
There is like a questionnaire that we use for research called the PAR-Q, which is called the Physical Activity Readiness Questionnaire. And a lot of times you can also go through this with your physician and make sure that you're ready for an exercise program. So all these things that we're talking about, I guess one of the big points for us is, one, if you haven't been exercising, make sure you go get a physical and you get checked out and you get all these things and you find out kind of what your capacity is at this point. Two, start. And this is another example where we've already talked about how lifting with light weights can be really, really beneficial to muscle strength and some of the other benefits. We've already talked about how walking, you don't have to be running. You don't have to be like, walking has a lot of cardiovascular benefits and things like insulin sensitizing benefits and these types of things. And then three, I guess, just to put all that together, a little goes a longer way than you think. And I think a lot of times we think about exercise as just being this all out, like you have to be pouring in sweat at the gym and doing all these different things. And this is just another reminder that you can get a lot of benefits that you don't even know you're getting with a reasonable amount of exercise. So make sure that you're ready to go. Make sure you're communicating with your primary care physician. You know, yearly physicals, screenings, all those types of things are part of prioritizing your self-health and your health hygiene. You know, just like we go to the dentist every 6 months for teeth cleaning and we brush our teeth every night, we shower every day. These are things we do every day without thinking about it. That's what we want some level of exercise to become. It's just a part of your daily day. You're always going to do it. You can listen to your body and a little goes a long way.
Yeah, totally.
What else?
Thinking.
She's supposed to do that before.
I know. Well, I was just wanting to share a little thing that like I've kind of been learning, kind of figuring out about myself is, and I don't know if this will just kind of, you know, we're talking about all this stuff and I'm learning along with everyone. And I've kind of had this realization in the past week or two where like, you know, one thing we talk about in our classes is that some people are like a higher responder to training and they only have to train, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. And some people have to train 3 or 4 times that to get the same results. And I noticed that since I've kind of stopped playing soccer and my workouts aren't modulated, I've kind of gotten this like, okay, I have to do something every day because that's what I did. And now I'm like, okay, I feel burnt out. I feel tired. I'm not performing as well. On my runs, I feel sluggish. In the weight room, I feel tired. I'm not moving as much weight. So I'm kind of cutting that down. And so I'm going to try and cut that down into like, you know, 4 or 5 days a week rather than it was like almost 6 or 7. I just wanted to talk about this on the podcast kind of openly because even though like I've thought of myself as like a pretty good athlete my whole life, I realize like I'm doing too much. Like my body can't handle this. And like, while that's kind of hard for me mentally, I know it's like the right thing physically.
Yeah, it's super interesting because I experience similar things. There are times when I don't sort of listen to what my body. So there's times when I feel tired, but I kind of know that exercise is going to make me feel better. There's other times where I feel tired, And I kind of know it's because I've been exercising so much and pushing myself so much, and rest is actually the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that everybody needs to sort of find for themselves. And again, I want to be like really clear about this. We don't earn our right to exercise. We don't earn rest. We don't earn food. You don't exercise. I hear people say, oh, well, I exercise so I can eat what I want. Like, we want to get out of that way of thinking and just say, look, a little bit in regards to these things go a long way. It's the accumulated effect of them that has a real benefit. And it's not about having, you know, perfect workout year or all those types of things, because those things are unsustainable.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through the same thing, I've gone through the same thing you're going through, which is, and it's hard because you just want to do more because you want more. But I mean, we just have this idea that more is always better, and it just isn't a lot of times. And the, you know, it's interesting. One of the elite athletes that I work with as a nutritionist, he's run the 1500 meter, which they call the metric mile. So a mile is 1600 meters, but in international competitions, they run the 1500. And so it's just short of a mile, 100 meters short of a mile. And he was the world champion in the 1500 in 2023. In the 2024 Olympics, he got the silver medal by less than 0.1 seconds. I think he lost the silver by 0.03 seconds or something like that. I mean, it was like right there. He just gave an interview the other day that I saw where he said, this is going to sound kind of bad and it might, people are going to take this the wrong way, but my goal as an athlete is to run as fast as possible while doing as little as possible that I can. And he's really, really protective of his rest, of his sleep, of his off days, and of his mileage. Because when he's going so hard. He knows to get the benefit from those things, he also needs to mix in rest. Now, for non-Olympic level, world level athletes, we can do something a little bit every day, but you also want to listen to your body. And so don't hold on too tightly to those exercise streaks and those kind of, you know, random kind of goals that you've made up. I do this a lot. I say, okay, I'm gonna at least do 20 minutes of weightlifting every single day and see how many days I can do it in a row. And it always ends the same way. And I always go back to doing it. I feel like I'm finally starting to learn my lesson on that, where sometimes it's okay to back off. But that's if you've been really consistent with it and those types of things, and you know your body needs that rest. Yeah. For the majority of Americans that are out there, we need to mix in a little bit more activity and more different types of activity.
Yeah, totally. And I think we've also, you know, we've talked about burnout a lot, and, you know, we've had discussions about, you know, college athletics and how that's looked. And, you know, that's been challenging. Like, I speak about this a lot, you know, talk to Kyle a lot about it, but it was like super challenging for me. And I'm like, I knew I was burnt out sometimes. I just had to keep going. And that was like hard mentally and physically. And so now it's like, I've kind of gotten this way of like, okay, I know if I don't exercise for 3 days, I'm going to be so excited to go on my long run.
Yeah.
On Sunday versus like, if I run, you know, Friday or if I run Saturday, I'm going to be like, oh, I do not want to do this. There's physical burnout, but we also talk a lot about mental burnout. And we talk about that a lot in my classes. We don't just speak about physiology. The mental part too is super important.
And it's another one of those benefits, like vascular function, to have our mental in the right place. You have to have activity. Our brains are made for it and they respond really well to it. They're also really good at protecting us and giving us signals when we need to, but we have these big, powerful frontal lobes that can override what our body is trying to tell us sometimes. So the point here is there's two main things that are coming out of this discussion. One is that weight training is really important, needs to be implemented, and it's not just about big muscles. It has all these other benefits that we're still discovering. This paper just came out. So don't, you know, make sure that you take that into consideration when you're deciding what to do, and make sure you're getting a lot of different exercise modes in a reasonable way consistently. Two, that doesn't mean you should be so sore that you can't move the next day, and then you still force yourself to go and lift again because you want all these like benefits, both like benefits that are easy to see, but you also want these kind of hidden benefits that we're talking about. So for everybody, there's going to be a balance point. Usually what it is that, you know, it's like for people that are kind of streak driven, or this prevents a lot of people from starting as well, where they say, well, I know I'm not going to be able to exercise tomorrow, or the rest of this week is really busy, so the whole week is shot, and I'll start on Monday and everything will be perfect at that point. Don't set yourself up for that type of failure. Just when you feel up to it and when your body is up for it, you go and get your exercise in. And if you do that consistently, you're going to know when you need some rest, and that's okay as well. Cool. Well, I think that wraps that up. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit to Teach, where we provide insights into health and wellness for teachers and staff each week. And we hope you enjoyed this episode and that you're starting to add more tools to the toolbox. We're still really encouraging people to reach out to Nathan at nemarshall@eou.edu and get your wellness exploration scheduled in the lab. We've had an awesome time doing these with a number of teachers. We've even had some seventh and eighth grade tag students come in. We mentioned that in our last episode. We had a really good time with them. And this is an opportunity for you to come in and get gold standard, you know, health assessments, health explanation, or health exploration, however you want to put it. And it's something that your school district is providing you for you for free. And it gives us an opportunity to engage with you and further these conversations. So we want to thank you for listening. We want to encourage you to reach out to us and get into the lab to help kickstart your kind of health journey into this new year and hopefully set up some really good habits that last a really long time. All right. We'll see you Friday for our relaxation show, Classroom to Calm, to get you ready for the weekend.